Somebody said you should sign up when you had your pastoral remarks. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 14 of Philippians chapter 3. 13 through 21. Don't worry. I got five sermons I'm going to get out of these verses here. We're not going to do all this today. Some of y'all may have tea times. Philippians 3, 13 through 21, five sermons. What are you working for? What are you thinking about? Who are you following? What are you talking about? And what are you waiting for? See if you can pull them out of there. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which were behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Amen. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, amen, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Amen. Precious Lord, thank you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for tracking us down and putting the lights on and apprehending us when we was headed for hell and destruction. You pulled us over, handcuffed us, dragged us in. Then, Father God, you gave us a new spirit. You gave us a heart, new heart. You gave us a new talk, a new walk. You gave us a love for Jesus Christ and His church and His people. And we thank you, Lord. You're a good God. You're a faithful God. And we love you, Father God, for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Father God, we can only give you praise because you are worthy. And we pray these things in your holy name. Amen. 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 You know, God, Paul writes to a good church. Mm-hmm. He's writing to a good church, and even a good church needed tuning up a little bit. Even a good car needs to be taken to the shop for its checkups and regular services. Oil change and check the fluids and all that and brakes and everything. And a good church needs to be tuned up. Brought back into focus. Sometimes we can lose our focus. Paul, right into the Philippians church, if you read chapter 1 of Philippians, he's talking to a church he loved. He's not talking to the Corinthian church. He's not talking to the Galatian church. He's talking to a church that he loved, that he loved to think about because it was a good church. It was full of good Christians that loved the Lord. Look what he says. He says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. What if you got a letter like that? Somebody write you a letter like that. You know they love you. They love you. Every time they think about you, they thank God upon every remembrance of you. You got anybody in your life like that? Yes. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. How about that? Amen. Praying for this church, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Mm-hmm. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But in between all that, I think what Paul is saying, you're going to run into some stuff. Amen. Okay, it's not smooth sailing. Because in chapter 3, our chapter we're looking at, he begins chapter 3 by saying, finally, my brethren, talk about the brothers in Christ. Brethren, when you think about brethren, you think about folks who came out of the same womb. Amen. Now after Jackie had baby number one, and she have a second, she have another girl, then she have another girl, and Jay come out, you gotta give me a boy. Now she up to 5. They all brethren. Amen. Jackie gets here, she's scratching now, oh Lord. But they all have come out of the same womb, and they're brethren. Paul is calling us brethren. Why? Because if we've been born again, we've been all born how? Out of the same womb. Amen. We all brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying in verse chapter number 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Yeah. And rejoice in the Lord even in the good times and in the bad times. Amen. That's not always easy, but it's doable. Mm-hmm. Paul wouldn't have said it if it wasn't. He said, I write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. You don't hear the same thing. You don't hear the same thing. You keep coming to church. You keep going to Bible study. After a while, it becomes what? Margaret Gilbert. Repetitious. This is the same thing. This is the same thing. Why? Because it works. It works. You look at some sports teams. They run the same place. They've been running the same place for years. You know what they saying? Until you stop it, we ain't going to do nothing different. Alright, if you can't stop the run, why are we gonna start throwing the ball? No, we're gonna run it down your throat. And what Paul is saying is, see, you stop this. This is good for you. Because the repetition breeds what? Now it becomes secondhand. And your thinking and your thoughts. When you get into a situation, thus say the Lord. What would Jesus do? What would the Lord do? How would the Lord handle this? What I've been taught, what I've been learned, I need to get out of this situation, I need to flee from this, I need to stay, or I need to go. Paul's saying this, beware. That's why repetition is important. He said, beware of dogs in the church. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir, in the church, dogs in the church. What's the dog? What's the dog's job? Keep folks away. Some folks ain't in church today. There's a whole lot of people at the flea market up the street. Because church folks, they ran them out of church. I'm just being honest. There's a whole lot of folks doing some stuff on Sunday that they would never do because church folks. We've been talking about it. Even we talked about the man couldn't even get his sick. The four brothers couldn't even get their friend into God's house because church folks. They had to climb up in the house and cut a hole in the roof. Most folks ain't going to do that anymore. They find, I ain't got nothing to do with it. He said, not only that, beware of evil workers in the church. Mm-hmm. Evil workers in the church? Yes. Amen. Evil workers and dogs in the church? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's the evil worker's job? Paul, God said it, and we talked about this more in Sunday school. He's going to put some evil workers in the church. To do what? To do evil. To say mean things. To complain and to murmur. Beware of them. Beware of them. And then beware of the concision. Some folks say, well, if you ain't working, you ain't doing all that you can do. If you ain't working, you know, this is a picture of works righteousness. You got to work your way into heaven. I'm going to tell you that. You ain't doing enough. You missed a Sunday. There's nothing in the Bible saying you can't miss a Sunday. That only applies to me. But some folks say you got to work your way into heaven. You got to work, work, work. Do some penance and do some good deeds and go out and pick up paper in the community and do everything. And you know, you keep so busy, you can't do nothing for the Lord. Amen. Some folks so busy, they can't do nothing for the Lord. They schedule packed with the things of this world. But Paul says this in verse 13 and 14. He said, what are you working for? He said, what are you working for? Look at verse 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, Paul can say that. We don't have no right. Paul said, I'm not there. See, some folks say, well, you know, I don't need to go to church. I know enough. I done heard that message. I done heard that message. I remember I've been in a church and we was the Sunday school lesson. I was a Sunday school teacher. It was Christmas time. And he said, well, we're going to cancel Sunday school for the whole month of December. People have heard that message. Really? That was the beginning and the end for me.
Amen.
Okay? Because you can't never hear the message enough of the virgin birth. Yes. He says, but this one thing I do. I like that. There's a lot of one things in the Bible. Okay? Mary and Martha had Jesus over. Martha was busy. Y'all know this story. She was busy. And she got on Jesus and Mary. And Jesus said to Martha and them, you know, Mary's doing a good thing. Just one good thing she's doing. Sitting at my feet and learning. The rich young ruler came to the Lord and said, what I must do. Jesus told him, listen, one thing. One thing. Go sell all that you have. Give to the poor, come follow me. One thing. He said, this one thing I do, Paul. Paul said, this is one thing I do. And if we don't do it, we will never get nowhere. Amen. See, the world is constantly reminding us of our past, of our mistakes, and the things that we've done. And some folks say, well, what you doing preaching? I'm not preaching my life. Amen. God didn't call me to preach my life.
Amen.
He called me to preach the gospel. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. And they question Paul. They say, ain't he the one killing Christians, murdering Christians, dragging them into court? Wasn't he on his way to down Damascus Road, on his way to do some damage when God called him? And then Paul would have been like many of us. Many folks. You look at him, you know, and you look at some of this Jerry Springer and all this stuff that's on TV and everybody, woe is me, and this happened to me, and this happened to me, and this happened to me. Murmur, murmur, murmur. Complain, complain, complain.
Man.
Put your dukes up. Uh-huh. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's get ready to rumble, as they used to say back in the day. Let's get ready to rumble. And we just wallow in our, oh, woe is me, when I was a little baby, you know, Mama Vernon slapped me. And I've never, I mean, I can't hear in that ear. And we just complain. We just complain and we get stuck. And God could not have used Paul if he would have got stuck.
Amen.
Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. It is a picture of a 100-yard dash with a hurdle, but they neck and neck, and that one just lunges out. We're not lunging. We're just complacent. We're just content. And to wallow in the mud, wallow in our complaints, woe is me, woe is me, and wait for the next handout. Wait for the next freebie. Wait for somebody to come along and throw a little nickel in our little can of complaints. Paul said, no, that ain't how we work it. Verse 14, that's where we get started. He said, listen, here's what I do. I press. He said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. How many know it's a press way? A lot of folks ain't getting in because they're not willing to press. They're not willing to press. It's a press way. Okay? See, I get the honor now that I'm driving the Master every day. I ride by the Hall of Fame every day. Every day I have to ride by the Hall of Fame if I'm going to work. And outside on the Hall of Fame now, because next weekend is Hall of Fame. They got all the pictures of all the Hall of Fame guys. They got Jim Brown up there and Jerome Bettis and Junior Seos and a few others. I can't think of them all. Haley. And all of them folks got one thing in common. They knew what they had to do to get to the Hall of Fame. It was a press way. It was a difficult journey. They had to train. They had to study. They had to work. They had to sacrifice. They had to do a whole lot to get there. Now I ask a question. If we had a Hall of Fame for Christians, who could we nominate? Who could we nominate? I think of Whitfield, the great Puritan preacher Whitfield. He had this prayer. I thought it was impactful. I was reading it. He said, "Make me." This was his prayer. "Make me an extraordinary Christian." How about that? This great man of God who preached 350 times was John 3:16. The Bible says, they say he preached 350 times. They said, why do you preach so much? Because folks need to hear it.
Amen.
They would ask, why do you preach? Folks need to hear it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. But what? Have eternal life. Folks need to hear it. All our Christianity stands on that. Somebody said, well, you know what? I don't believe that Jesus Christ is God's son. Well, I understand. And I do. Paul's teaching that there's a great cost in following Christ. That was our Sunday school lesson. There's a great cost in following Christ because people don't want to hear truth no more. People don't want to hear truth about anything no more. How I look, do you really want to know? How is my chicken salad? We don't want to tell people the truth. It'll be the last dish left at the banquet. Nobody touched it. How was the salad? Delicious. I remember, never mind. I ain't going there. Stay focused. It's a press way in it. It's always been a press way. It's always been a press way. Luke 16:16. I just love talking about John the Baptist. Because it said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. And every man do what? Press it into it. It's a press way. It's a way that takes sacrifice and commitment and dedication. And folks are not willing to press their way in. Paul, right to the Corinthian church, talking about a press way. He took it. They beat Paul. They stoned Paul. They left him for dead, and God rolled him up. When Paul was on a shipwreck, and he was on a boat, and the ship was going down, and Paul told him, stay in the ship. Then when the ship got to land, instead of Paul resting in his glory, he was out digging for wood. And while he was putting wood in the fire, a viper latched onto his hand. Yeah. It's a press way. Yeah. And some of us right now walking around vipers on us. We don't want to shake them off. Shake them things off like Paul did. We walking around, viper man. Vipers hanging on us. We wonder why nobody want to be bothered with us. Nobody want to talk to us. We got vipers on us. You messed up. Shake that thing off and get back in line. Get your focus back. Paul said, listen, Second Corinthians 4:17. He said, for our light affliction. This is coming from a man who's been stoned. This is from a man who they wanted to kill. There's a group of people that's called a fast. We ain't gonna eat nothing if we kill Paul. How you like to live like that? And Paul, no, Paul called it. What do you call it? A light affliction. Really? We crumble. Paul would laugh at the stuff that we crumble under. He'd look at us and say, what? You talking about going in the hospital for a knee replacement surgery and you worried to death? I know, Paul. I just want to. I just let you know I'm thinking about you. But it's really when you look big picture, it's a light affliction. It's a light affliction. Paul said, it's just for a moment. It's just for a moment. He said, working for us a far and more exceedingly and external weight of glory. You know, I had a light affliction. And Paul was telling him, I'm covered. I'm covered.
Amen.
See what sickness do? What health issues do? As we get older and we get health issues and sickness, know what it do? Make our prayer life better.
Amen.
Oh, our prayer life better when we're sick. And we all love one is sick. Pray. Claire can pray. She always been a good prayer. But, you know, our prayer life better now. When Deacon Nels was alive, I call and talk to him. He holler and scream at me, and I holler and scream at him. And before we got off the phone, he said, who's going to pray, me or you?
Amen.
One of us is praying.
Amen.
Okay? I watched my mother and father dissolve. Honestly. Because, you know, it's a light of fishing when I watch them. There's many of us in here watching our loved ones. And many of us right now, whether we know it or not, we just dissolving. Okay? We're not strong as we used to be. We're not fast as we used to be. We're not bending over. And you know, sooner or later, all of us will have them shoes Deacon Oliver got on with the Velcro.
Amen.
You get some Velcro shoes, I'll be looking at them. I'm like, man, I'm going to have to get some Velcro shoes. I like Jensen. I like nice shoes. Not that there ain't nice shoes. You know. And I can't bend over like I used to. And, you know. Be like, I have to get me some Velcro shoes. I be bending all the time. My shoes, I be out of breath. Because my body's dissolving. And what Paul said here, 2 Corinthians 5, he said, well, we know. We know it, but we don't like to admit it. We know it, but we don't like to admit it. See, and really all we need to do, any of us in here, got to be careful. You want to know if your body's dissolving? When you get out of the shower, look in the mirror. What is happening? I used to be Mr. America. We dissolving. And this is what Paul said. And we got to understand this. Now, and I know people say, well, you're so dogmatic, Pastor. You're just too honest. I can't be too honest.
Tell the truth.
We're not living to be 700 years old.
Amen.
Okay? The day's over. We get out of here, and my job is to get you ready.
Amen.
My job is to make sure when you lie here, ready to go.
Amen.
Be like Stevie Wonder. Here I am. Sign, seal, deliver. I'm yours. For we know, 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. My father was 276. When y'all met my dad, he was 276. He died at 156. He dissolved. I watched his strength leave him. And I always know my father, big man, strong. He dissolved, but God had to dissolve him to get down to the glory. To get the glory out of him, he had to dissolve him. Oh, we don't like talking about that. That's that nice, huh? Why don't I come to your church? Yeah. You tell the truth. I want to go somewhere it is partying and popping fingers. Man, that's good time. Good musician. Ain't got no radio. Cardio. That's right. Cardio. I want to go to the cardio church. Take a praise break. 10 minutes, they just run around. Get the cardio on. Selling handkerchiefs outside the church. It's good service today. Got my pump on, put my creatine. Good workout today at church. I want to work the soul. I want the spirit. I want the spirit man to get a good workout. So you be ready. You be ready. I ain't young and old. Young and old. You know, people think, you know, I'm too young to die. Really? It's a press way. And then that word press speaks of to pursue something. To get after it. You know, and I say this, you got to get after it. The folks in the Hall of Fame, they got after it. They got after it. They knew. They knew the cost. They knew the challenges. They knew the cost. They gave up some stuff. And they got after it. And I have to ask the question, are you getting after it? Or is it getting after you? Is it getting after you? Are you getting after it? You want to be great at something. Let's say you want to be great. Say you want to be great at something. You got to learn about it. Say you want to be a great fisherman. How about that, fisherman? I'm trying to be neutral. But to be a great fisherman, you got to know about lures. You got to know about bait. You got to know the different lakes. You got to know what lake, if you're looking for bass, you got to know what lake produces bass. You got to know where the bass are at. You got to know the depth that they're at. You got to know in different the sunlight, different darkness of the water, different colors of lures work better than others. You got to have a license. Probably need a bowl and a fish finder. Yeah, you know, some of us tonight, we like Chris, we want to be great fish, we got a worm in a hook in a bamboo pole. And we catch some bluegills and little sunfish. I'm a great fisherman. I'm a great fisherman. And you got a bucket full of little bluegills that the police caught you with. You're going to jail and take your fishing poles. You want to be great. Paul said it's a press way. You want to get to the Hall of Fame for Christians. It's a press way. Lord, make me press. Lord, give me the strength to press. Give me the strength to make the sacrifices necessary. To be great for you. I want to be great for God.
Amen.
I want to be great for God. We think about great preachers. We think about Jonathan Edwards. We think about Spurgeon. We think about the great preachers and what they had to give up. And we don't think about, I want to be great. I don't care what you want to be great at. You're going to have to give up something.
Amen.
You know, you can be great at football. You can be great at basketball. But there ain't many playing for both of them. Some point you got to say, I'm going to play football, I'm going to play basketball.
Amen.
Or I'm going to play tennis, you know? Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to play soccer. I'm going to do all four of them. No, you're not. You're not going to be great at any of them. Mm-hmm. Are you pressing? What are we pressing for? How about that? I like that. What are we pressing for? What did Paul say? What are we pressing for? You're great. I'm pressing for the mark of the high calling. Excuse me. I press toward the mark for the prize. What is this prize? That's interesting. What is the prize? What prize is Paul talking about?
Man.
Think about it. Look at verse number 11. Look at 3:11. I'm here at 3:11. He says, here's the prize. 3:11. For if by any means, here's the prize, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's it. Now everybody's going to live again. Paul ain't talking about something else. See, the Bible says when the rich man died, he said in hell he opened his eyes. So we're going to live again. I think Paul's talking about living again in heaven. Living again in paradise and enjoying the beauties and the glory of God.
Amen.
And a lot of folks say, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to heaven. Like a little boy. You want to go to heaven? Yeah, but not today. Not today. I'd rather go to Handles. and that's how sometimes we live. Paul said, I want a prize. What is the prize? Look at Revelation 3:21. You don't have to turn all these verses, but Revelation 3:21 talks about the prize. And he talks about a pressed way. So everything is in this verse. He said, to him that overcometh. Overcometh what? The evil and the sickness of this world. To him that overcometh. Quitting. Overcometh the devil and all his deceptions. He says, him will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. How about that? You want to sit with the Lord? That ought to be a goal of the church.
Amen.
Of the church. We also got our loved ones, and I heard Claire praying. You know, we got loved ones that don't know the Lord. Friends that don't know the Lord, neighbors, we walk right by them, you know. And you know, they on their way to hell. Hey.
Man.
Have a blessed day. You know, Deacon always tell us about the guy walked down the street every other day or so, cussing and swearing, you know. Hey, how you doing? Enjoy your walk. One day he ain't gonna walk.
Right.
He'll be in hell. Man, that old man knew. He knew where I was going. Didn't ever say nothing to me. Talk to them. Let them know about Jesus. Our job not to save them. I can't say nobody in here.
Amen.
All I can do is put out the word of God. Thus say the Lord.
Amen.
And y'all may pick up some stones. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Every Sunday, same thing. Heaven. Hell. Heaven. Every Sunday. Same thing with him. They don't do that in my other church.
Amen.
All he talk about is living right, truth, and honesty, and faithfulness, and loving your wife, and being faithful, and all that crazy stuff.
Amen.
But this prize, if you're looking for the prize, what is the prize? The resurrection. What is the prize? The call. You know, it's a blessing. The fact that God has called us. Seriously. It's a blessing that God has called us.
Amen.
My brother Peter said, I thank the Lord who called us out of what? Darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
I thank God that he gave us ears to hear the call.
Amen.
You wonder, I was talking to Columbus, and you know, he said, I hear the word of God, I hear it in my heart. I said, Columbus, you may hear it. You may be sitting there and the Word of God may be blessing you and you may be hearing the Word of God and you may be blessed by the Word of God and the person next to you be asleep or texting or Instagram and things could take care less. So you thank God that he has given you ears and then you pray for them other folks who are not getting nothing out of it.
Yeah.
They get nothing out of it. I'm just here. Nothing else to do. When I get a car, as soon as I get a car, I'm done with church.
Amen.
There's benefit. There's the blessing of the prize. Look at Psalms 103. Y'all know this verse. Y'all know this psalm. This one. It's a beautiful psalm. It talks about the benefits. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, that's folks receiving his benefits.
Amen.
Care less about the things of God. Care less about where the benefits come from, where the help come from.
That's right.
Look what he says. Who forgiveth all my iniquities. How about that? There folks running around here now. Can't forget nothing. Upset with themselves. Upset that they've done something. Upset that they've hurt somebody. Oh, I hurt my parents. Oh, I hurt my neighbors. Oh, I hurt. Yeah. Listen. God is good. And he's faithful. And he forgiveth all thine iniquity. You know, there's folks right now sitting in mental hospitals and psych wards and just because they have sin in their lives and don't know how to deal with it. Don't have to deal with it. He said, he forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases,
amen,
who redeemeth thy life from destruction. That's beautiful. Because we was headed for destruction. There you go, Pastor. Yes, we were. And if you're not saved, you still have more deception.
Amen.
Okay? You don't even have a crossing lights on. You have no brakes. You drive an 18-wheeler and you're going straight down a hill.
Amen.
And you ain't even tapping the brake. You got the music on so loud.
Amen.
Who crowneth us with loving kindness and tender mercy. How about that? Crown. I'm going to talk about that crown for a minute. I'm going to talk about that crown in a minute. Because I want y'all to get a crown. You got to have a crown. You got to have a crown. You got to have a crown, a place at Jesus' feet. You got to get your crown now. You got to get your crown before you leave here. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle. Pastor, I want a crown. It's a pressed way. Pastor, I want a crown. It's a pressed way.
Amen.
I don't have Burger King crowns. Some of you are going to cast, throw a Burger King crown at the Lord's feet. That's not the crown. Some of you, I got my crown. I say, little kids, got my crown. Now, you know, I spiritualize everything. So. Hope you get a better one than that, young lady and young man.
Amen.
They be riding around in a car and they got their crown on. They look so cute. And Jackie, she goes, I can't get my baby going to get a crown. Burger King. So I can say, well, it's my day. You need the right crown. You need the right crown. How do I get it, Pastor? I want to get that crown. I got the answer. Three steps to receiving a crown. You got to fight. You got to finish. And you got to keep the faith. Where you get that at, Pastor? Because you are a Bible preacher.
Amen.
I'm glad you asked. 2 Timothy 4. Paul's going to teach you how to get a crown. Because there's a press way. And when the church, when we got all folks in here got their crown, it's going to be a beautiful place to be.
Amen.
It might not be full. Okay? We're not the finger-popping church. Okay? But everybody can have a crown. And I ain't going to have to be lying when I'm doing eulogies. It's up here lying.
Uh-huh.
So got a crown. Paul teaching Timothy. He said, listen, Timothy, I'm going to tell you how to get a crown, boy. Listen to me. Wake up, Randy, if he's asleep. Okay, he's paying attention. Okay, Randy. All right. Here's how to get a crown, Randy. I have fought a good fight. That's not right. I have fought a good fight. I'm fighting a fight in the Lord. Now, we're not biting off no ears like Mike Tyson. Okay, we're not hitting below the belt. We're not using drugs. We don't have over heavy, too many, what, gloves weigh too much. They be doing all kinds of stuff. Take all that stuff. They say, well, you wearing an 8-ounce glove. I'm wearing 10 today. Or I might go ahead lighter so I'd be faster. Let me do all kinds of stuff. No. Good fight. Are you fighting a good fight? Hey, you better answer some of these questions. You gotta stop. You can't zip through this stuff. Are you fighting a good fight? Are you playing by the rules? Are you following the Word of God? Are you living it? I have finished my course. Do you even know what course you're on? Are you even on the course?
Man,
that's a good question. Listen, I'm not entering this race today. I got to pull a hamstring. I got a hammy. Paul said, I finished my course. Okay? I have kept the faith. Kept it. And where it kept me, I've secured it and I've lived by it. It's been meaningful to me. I have kept the faith. Jude chapter 3 says that we must what? Contend for the faith. Once again, fight for it. And no other time in the history of the church. This is a great time. I tell people, if you say, well, Pastor, what do you want? Listen, it's a great time to be a Christian. If you for real. Because you're going to get in. God is using the Supreme Court in this world to divide the church. We'll find out who's real or not. We're going to find out who's real or not. Real quick. It don't take long for the world to let you find out where you stand. Where you stand? Where you stand? Here's where I stand. Paul said, I stand here and I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You get that crown of righteousness by living right. And the only way you're going to live right is by living by the Word of God. And then when you fail, Pastor, well, ain't nobody perfect. Listen, let me tell you something. 1 John 1:9 said, well, if we sin, we know this, okay? He is just to forgive us of our sins. You're going to sin. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to go through. It's a press way. When you get through, when you lean on the Lord, not with your own understanding, when you lean on the Lord and you understand it's a press way, listen, we have a righteous judge. And he shall give me that day, and not to me only, but all them who love his appearing. Pastor, I want a crown. I want a crown. How did Jesus get his crown? That's a question. Pastor, I want a crown. How did Jesus get his crown? Let me show you how Jesus got his crown. Because this is how you're going to get yours if you get it. If you get it, you're going to get it just like the person who gave it to you. There's no other way. There ain't no shortcuts with this. Amen. See, everybody want a crown, but nobody want to get after it. Nobody want to press. Look at Mark 15. Look at Mark 15 and 16. Yeah, I'm talking about how to get a crown. I'm going to show you how to get a crown. Listen, I didn't already gave you the first steps of it. And I think Paul and Jesus lined right up, fought, finished, and kept the faith. Now, how did Jesus get his crown? Same way you're going to get yours. Mark 15, here's how Jesus got his crown. And so Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus. And when he had scourged him to be crucified. Y'all ready for that? You ready for this crown? Might take a few whips. Okay? And the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. They're going to make a fool of you. See, we so prideful. We so, I mean, y'all sitting here, oh, ain't no pride. No, I'm humble as can be. No, we prideful. Because we don't want to stand for Jesus. None of us don't want to stand for Jesus because we don't want to be ridiculed and mocked. We don't want it. We don't want to take it. Well, you don't believe that? Well, the whole world's changing. You know, you prehistoric. The world's changing. We live in a new world today. Everything goes. Well, I'm going to say what it were. Saying yesterday, today, and forevermore. Well, you a knucklehead. You a fool. Christians are fools. Today, we fools. We believe the Bible. What did they do? They clothed him with purple. Listen. Anybody got any purple on today I can mess with? One like Brady's shirt. Okay? One like Brady's shirt purple. Is it purple that they had walked on and probably urinated on and it was stained all up? This is a picture of mockery. I'm talking about how you're going to get the crown. And they clothed him with purple. That's royalty. They didn't think he was royalty. They thought he was a liar. They thought he was nothing. He was a Jew that was lost his mind. And if you get a crown, you're going to be a Christian that people think they lost your mind. You mean you believe that? You mean that you believe that God had a son and sent him down to this earth and he was impregnated of young virgin girl and she had a baby by the Holy Spirit and gave birth to that baby and he walked 33 years on this earth, never committed a sin. Amen. And then they took him and nailed him to a cross and then buried him in for 3 days and he rose up. You believe all that? You out of your mind. You a fool. That's the Word of God.
Amen.
Not only did they put a purple robe on, they plaited a crown of thorns. Mm-hmm. That's a good illustration right there. Mm-hmm. A crown of nails. And they put it about his head. And began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. You're going to take some ridicule. I take it.
Amen.
I take it. I feel bad for the people who ridicule me. I know that one lady at my job, and you know, Reverend do wrong, Reverend do wrong. Every time she and all the other inmates would laugh, Reverend do wrong, Reverend do wrong. He calls up a reverend. She got fired. See, that's how it goes. You want to cry? You're gonna get mocked on this side. You're not going to walk hand in hand with the world and walk hand in hand into heaven.
Amen.
Oh, we think we are. My best friend is a Rastafarian. My best friend is a Muslim. And your best friend don't believe Jesus is God's son.
Amen.
Your best friend don't believe that Jesus died on the cross. Your best friend hate Christianity. I hear that stuff. I'm like, man, what kind of friends you got? They mocked him. They began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed. How about that? You got a crown of thorns on your head, they hit you in the head with a stick. And they spit on him. Somebody said, "Well, that ain't too bad, no." Spitting was a sign of just disgust with you. You just disgusted to me. And they spit on him. And after they spit on him, they bowed their knees worshiping him. Like he was truly a king. They mocked him. Are you ready for a crown? You're going to take it. That's why we undercover. We like incognito. I'm a Christian. Nobody know it. My neighbors don't know it. My coworkers don't know it. Nobody know I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I don't know. I know it's a difficult thing. No, Pastor, you're always difficult. It's difficult. It's a press way. It's a press way. I could go to John 19 and the same thing. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. But then, you want a crown. And you need one. But understand this. It's a press way.
Amen.
Peter says this, and I close. 1 Peter 5:10, he says this. He said, "But the God of all grace." And Peter do. Peter made great mistakes, but he knew God was a God of all grace, who have called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. How about that? Who called us? He says this, after you have suffered a while.
Yeah.
After you have suffered a while, it's a press way. Make you perfect. Make you perfect. That word perfect means mature. He'll make you mature. And then establish you and strengthen you and settle you. Because it is a press way. It's difficult. It's going to be even harder for the Christian in the next few years. And the things, and I always say this, and we talk about it all the time, it's not going to get better. Okay? The world ain't getting better. They don't care who they elect. They can elect Donald Trump.
Amen.
Ain't gonna get better with Donald Trump. It's getting worse and worse. See, there's no more rumors of war. There's wars. Okay, see, the word of God said in the last day there'd be rumors of war. Listen, there ain't no rumors. They're wars. Okay? There's crazy stuff going on in the world. And those are all signs, and you know what? I would be negligent in doing what I'm supposed to do if I was to sit up here and play with you guys. And sit up here and entertain you guys and all hell's breaking out. I mean, think about it. People just get mad and just take an airplane and crash it into a mountain. Folks are walking somewhere and just shooting up everywhere. And I'm sitting up here, playing around. Listen, you gotta get ready. And it's not easy. It's not easy for me to sit up here and preach this because I know I can make you guys happy, some of you. And preach it easy. Man, that's so nice. Your pastor's so nice. I'm going to come back to this church and visit because it's so nice. Shacked up, drinking, gambling, cussing, swearing, selling dope. I got churches where dope boys can just come into church and, I enjoy it here. Really? You selling dope? You selling crack? You selling crack to your own people and you tithing at a church? And you comfortable? You come to church drunk, hungover, and I like your church, your pastor. He's nice. How dare you? How dare you? It happens. It happens all the time. Folks just living any kind of way, reckless, totally reckless, living a life. Come to church and comfortable. Ushering. Singing. Singing. Jacked up. Singing. Dancing. Crazy dancing.